first reading is from the Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 2, verses 1 to 13. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always, obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation, fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Hear the word of the Lord.
Good. The gospel is from Matthew and chapter 21, verses 22 to 23 and onwards. Now Jesus entered the temple courts, and while he was teaching, chief priests and the elders of the people came to him. By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority? Jesus replied, I'll also ask you one question. You answer me, I will tell you by what authority I'm doing these things. John's baptism, where did it come from? Was it from heaven or of human origin? They discussed it amongst themselves and said, if we say from heaven, you ask, well, then why didn't you believe him? But if we say of human origin, we're afraid of the people, for they all hold that John was a prophet. So they answered Jesus, we don't. Then he said, neither will I tell you by what authority I'm doing this. What do you think? There was a man who had two sons. He went to the first and said, son, go and work today in the vineyard. I will not, he answered. But later he changed his mind and went. Then the father went to the other son and said the same thing. He answered, I will, sir. But he did not go. Which of the two did what his father wanted? The first, they answered. Well, Jesus said to them, truly, I tell to you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you, show you the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes did. And even after you saw this, you did not repent. Leave him. Gospel. Praise to you, Lord Jesus.
I speak in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. So, is anybody a fan of Indiana Jones? Do you see the movie? Oh, dear, oh, dear, oh, dear. Some people's education is sadly lacking. So Indiana Jones, of course, Harrison Ford, played by Harrison Ford. Indiana Jones, in The Last Crusade, he's gone looking for the Holy Grail. And he has instructions on how to find it. But, of course, as Indiana Jones is always set in these, in the Nazi times, there is a Nazi officer and someone who is looking for power, who's following him and trying to get to the Grail, because he wants the Grail for himself, because he knows that the Holy Grail, which is the cup of Jesus, gives life. And he wants to be living eternally, and he wants to have the power of God. And he thinks he can get it. by finding the Grail. So he follows Indiana Jones and his father, and there's a whole movie of adventures. And then they come to the place where the Grail is hidden. And to get into the Grail, you have to pass three tests. And the first test is the penitent, the repentant, that word, turning around and going in the other way. The penitent, only the penitent man shall pass, it says. And of course, everybody is trying to being thrown in there, told to go in there by this Nazi guy, and they all keep getting in trouble. And then the Nazi guy shoots Indiana Jones' father and says, now you need to go in because he was refusing to go, because you're going to need to heal your father. So, okay. So Indiana Jones, he's got he's got the first test, penitent man, kneel. So he kneels down before God, which is what you have to do. And, of course, he can pass through, because if you knelt down, then the booby trap didn't get you. And then there's another test. And the next test is walking in the name of God, walking in the way of God. And it's in the name of God, and the letters for the name of God are on stones, and you've got to pick out the letters. He almost makes a boo-boo because he realizes he tries to go with English when actually it's written in Greek. And so almost steps on the wrong one. But anyway, he gets through on the name of God, and that's his pathway, the name of God. And then it's the leap of faith. And it says, faith from the lion's head. And he stands at the lion's head, and in front of him is a chasm, and he can see a cave over the other side, but there's this deep chasm which seems uncrossable. And in order to get from here to there, you're supposed to leap. So he says, what am I going to do? Well, the only thing I can do, so in faith, he dips his foot out, and there's a bridge there. You just couldn't see it, because it's an optical illusion. And so he crosses the bridge, and when he gets to the other side, he throws some sand across the bridge so he can see it coming back. And he gets through, and he gets into the cave, and of course he's followed by this Nazi bloke who wants to get the power. And into the room he comes, and there in the room is the crusader who's been there for hundreds of years, sipping the water from the cup of life, waiting for someone to come and take over from him. Somebody was supposed to come, and nobody did, so he's been there for a long time. And there are all these cups. But you see, there's not just one cup. And there's chalices like the cup we use for communion, you know, things like this. And they're all cups like this, and they're all very, very pretty, and some of them are gold, and some of them are silver, and some of them have jewels, and some of them are fairly plain. And they're all there together, and the Nazi guy comes in and says, which one is it? And the crusader says, you have to choose. Of course, the Nazi guy, who is after power and control and eternal life so that he can be king of the world, reaches for the cup of a king. He picks up a gold chalice with all of the pretty stones on it and absolutely gorgeous. And he picks it up and he scoops up the water and he drinks. And what happens? He dies. Then Indiana Jones has to choose. And he says, which one? And he chose poorly. I think it's the biggest understatement. And then Indiana Jones has a look, and he's going, oh, and his assistant is trying to point out all the pretty cups, and he goes, no, and he picks up a wooden, it's a wooden simple cup. And he says, that looks like the cup of a carpenter. And he takes the cup, and he scoops the water up, takes the sip, does not die, and runs out the door to help his dad, pours the water on the father's wound, and the father is healed. this day when we have communion, we drink from the cup of the carpenter. He who gave his life for us. What makes the blood of Jesus powerful? What makes that cup powerful? Why was it the Holy Grail? It has absolutely nothing to do with power in a human way, but in the power of God laid down for you and me. Now, for the kids this morning, I thought we might think about the cup of the carpenter, and I thought we might cut out some cups. What I want you to put in your cup are the things that you feel a carpenter, our carpenter God, our humble God would do. As we're talking, you might hear some of those words. If you cut them out and then you turn around, you'll find that the stained glass from these will be one side of it, and then you can fill the inside of it with those things. So I'm going to give you these so you guys can get on with that. But I want you to write in there the things that are the things, the good things that God calls us to do. Okay? The words. Yeah. Write the words inside them, the good things that God calls us to do. Carpenter's cup is a humble cup. The thing about humility is that it's a very misunderstood word. How would you describe a humble person? Someone who always gives, who does without, helps others. Yep. Submitted to God. Yeah. Selfless. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So is a humble person the sort of person who's a bit of a doormat? No. Not what humility is it? People have mistaken humility for, I have to be a worm and I'm not very good. And if I have this attitude that I'm not very good and I'll do good things for other people, Lord, but I'm not very good, they feel like that's what humility is, and that's not what it is at all. The word doesn't mean that. How did Jesus show his power and his love for us? He showed it by emptying himself. Coming and giving himself for us on the cross, the ultimate in humility. He had all the power in the world and he could have used it. We know this. Jesus had all the power. Jesus had the power to call down fire from heaven. He could have burned up the Romans. He could have done all those things. He could have healed himself and jumped off the cross. It was God. But humility knows the power that I have, but I use it for others. I know the power that I have, but I use it for others. This is what revolutionized the Roman world. Power was like the Nazi man's power. And as Jesus was talking to our friends, the leaders, the Pharisees and the scribes and the leaders in the synagogue and the temple, they had the same idea of what power was. They hadn't understood that power isn't about whether you rule, but whether you can lay down yourself for others. True power is power which is wielded in humility, in the service of others. But that wasn't the way that they saw it. And they didn't understand authority. The word authority. If you give someone your authority to do something, you give them your stamp of approval and they go as if they were you. And they can do what you would do. That's what happens if you give someone authority, right? So if I were to give my authority to someone and say, you can go and act as me and go and say to that person on behalf of the vicar, this can happen, then that would be you acting in my authority. And Jesus gets asked, well, what authority did does he have to do what he's doing? It's sort of obvious at this point. We're in Matthew 21. He's been preaching the gospel and healing people. He's fed 5,000 people and 4,000 people. He's He's raised the dead at this stage. And yet, even though he is doing the things of God, they don't want to admit that that is the authority he's under, because it challenged their own power. They couldn't tell people about John the Baptist, goodness me. So when Jesus says, well, I'll answer your question when you answer mine, which I love the way he does that, wonderful thing. So you tell me what authority John the Baptist was working under, and I'll tell you what authority I'm working under. And he knows darn well that they know that John was from God. He's a prophet. He was an Old Testament prophet, the last of them, sent by God, born through miraculous means, absolutely a man of God who preached, repent, for the kingdom of God is near. And they know that the people know this too. So they can't say, oh, John was an idiot and he had no authority, because they know the people will be upset. But they don't want to say John worked for God and had God's authority, because then they are wrong, aren't they? Because what did they do? They poo-pooed him. That he wasn't really, they people shouldn't follow him. He's not right. Don't go after him. We're the ones you should follow. Follow our words. Do what we say. Which basically meant that they were standing against God. After all, if you won't follow the one with the authority, then you're going on your own, aren't you? And that's how that was working. But of course, John out in the desert had thousands of people come to him because they were looking for God. And so prostitutes and the tax collectors, all these people, terrible sinners, awful people, they were coming out to him. And of course, our friends, the Pharisees, can't say one or the other. So what do? Well, they do the wonderfully political thing which you do. I don't know. Much they want to stand in the middle, and you can't stand in the middle, because as Johnny Cash so famously said, there is no fence to sit on between heaven and hell. But they want to stand in the middle because they're afraid to go with the authority of God, because they don't want to lose their own. When you have power, often you walk in fear because somebody will take the power from you. But if you are under the authority of the one true God, then your power is from him, and you don't need to fear that it can ever be taken from you, because it's his in the first place, and you can lay that down and you can work in his authority. There is a difference, and this is their problem. So Jesus tells them a parable, and what does he tell them about two sons? One who says, not going to do what you want me to do, Dad, I'm going back to bed. And then changes his mind, repents, and goes out to the vineyard. And then another son who says, yeah, no worries, Dad, I'll do exactly what you told me to do, and then goes and goofs off instead of going to the vineyard. And he says to them, which one did their father's will? And of course, they go, oh, well, the first son did, because he repented and went out to the vineyard. And Jesus says that's why the tax collectors and the prostitutes are getting into the kingdom before you, because they are like the first son, who, understanding that they were not doing the right thing, turned from that and followed what the father called them to do. Whereas these Pharisees and others who are the leaders are holding on to their power and saying, I can do what I want to do. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, but I'm going over here to do this. It's very pointed, but it's the truth. We're here because this is who we believe in. We have done exactly that. We've said no to God, perhaps for many years in our lives, we've said no to God, and then we've come to a place where we've understood that the carpenter's cup carries the blood of Jesus poured out for us. And every one of us has been given life through his blood. And we can come in through repentance, turning around, going the other way. And each one of us is here because of that. We've come to receive that life from Jesus. And coming to receive that life from Jesus brings us into a place where we then are given his authority in the world. We don't wield our own power and we don't stand in our own authority. We are always under him. And that authority used with humility is what changed the world after the cross. Nobody had ever seen people act like that before. We are here because of that, but there's a whole lot of people out there who think that they can't come in because they think that in our minds they'll be tax collectors. And there's a whole lot of people out there who are so busy wielding their own power and walking in fear that someone will take it off them that it's hard for them to humble themselves before a holy God. And they're all in the same boat because they all need Jesus. No matter how big a person you are or how many countries you may lead, you need Jesus. If you have him, you're going to be able to walk in the right authority. It works that way. These guys weren't getting it. Jesus, however, kept going, kept trying to call them, and some of them came, and we know that from the witness afterwards. When Paul wrote to the Philippians, Paul, a Pharisee, wrote to the Philippians, he lets them know that he understands this. And what does he call them to do? Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. And let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, and heaven on earth and under the earth, that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That's the good news. So today, as we think about how we walk with the Lord, and as we think about being people of the carpenter's clan, he who was humble enough to come here and be able to lay down everything for us, each one of us needs to lay down everything for him. We've done our confession, and I'm not calling you to confession, I'm calling you to action. Because we need the world to see this in us. Like I said, it's shown from the cross is where the world started to change. The Roman world had no time for caring for the ones who were poor or sick or lonely or in need. The Roman world had no time for laying down your life for others. You were supposed to stand on the backs of everybody else to get to where you were going. That was how you achieved. And people in this world still do that. They've never seen what Christians do. And the world out there is in a place now where a lot of them have never seen what Christians do. Our culture has changed. Humility is no longer as valued as it was. It's all about right. All of what I can have and what I want. And we actually need to be a place where we show people the one who has the cup of life. We need to be ones who know him well enough that we can represent him in the world as he would have us do under his authority. And we need to be able to do that in a way which invites them to come to him. So as we come to our next song, which we're going to sing in a minute, I invite you to sing this with the intention of using it as a recommitment to living every day as a person who follows the King. And asking the Lord to use you. Even it's not always that we have to tell someone the gospel. Sometimes we don't get that opportunity. But when we show him the love of Jesus, we show them how he lived, they will see the difference. And that plants seeds. As long as we're prepared to own him, you need to be able to own up. They say, why are you doing this? Don't tell them, oh, I'm just a nice person. Tell them I'm doing it because I'm under the authority of the carpenter, the King, the one who loves you. And I just want you to know your love. You don't have to say anything else. From there, God uses these things to own Jesus, and they will know why. We have to tell them the why. Sometimes we do all the good stuff, but we don't tell them why. That thing I think that's often missing. So as we sing this song, and you'll know it, it's called The Heart of Worship, let's rededicate ourselves to worshiping and following our King.